on Sports.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a good day. As always, please drive home safe. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. You can go to the website. You can listen to the show live if you're not in your car or listening on your radio, wherever. You also can, I upload all my shows into Audio Boom, and then it just spreads them out everywhere. You can go and listen to those. I have them all up. I appreciate everybody. Got a lot of listens, so enjoying that part. This week, live sports. So Wednesday, we have you and I, Valpo. It's a 6:30 pregame, so right after the show. Saturday is you and I at Indiana State. It is a 11:30 pregame. And Sunday is the NFC and AFC championship games, 1 o'clock pregame, and then they'll take you through until probably 10:30 that night. So get ready to listen to. If you can't watch, listen to it either on 101.3 FM or 1700 Champ AM, or you can listen live on the website. As always, want to take time to thank sponsors of the show, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Once again, I hope everybody had a great weekend. A lot of good football, a lot of good basketball. We have a lot to talk about. Let's see here. I'm trying to think where I have to, as always, because it is my show and I get to do this. I get to say hi to Nana. I took Susie to the airport today, so she's going back to Columbus. So we're all chipping in and making sure that we're taking care of Nana. She's getting better. She looks like she's feeling a little bit better. It's a tough go. So, we're excited that she's home and that we get to help her around the house. But it's nice to have her there. It was nice having Susie, having Kathy and Jen and Tracy, Chad, all of us. I mean, we're just all kind of pitching in, and that's just what we do. So glad to have her back. DJ's glad to have her back. I know that. All right, let's get started. I'm gonna start with NFL. I mean, there was some, the games this weekend were amazing. I mean, they were fun to watch. You had a lot of things that you're just kind of going, man, I get that everybody, it's a copycat league. I get all the things that happen, you know, and how they set up how to stop things and do all that. But man, it seems to me that even with what we had this weekend. So you had the final eight this weekend, and all these teams, I mean, they're there for a reason. And offensive play was sloppy. Defensive play was sloppy. Coaching, I mean, if you listen to the shows today, I mean, there were coaching just really weird stuff. The other thing that you saw is talented young quarterbacks, and it goes into what I've been saying for the past year, and when we look at coaches. So in these final games this weekend, you had the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Kansas City Chiefs. Two offensive coaches, Doug Peterson, Andy Reid. The Giants have Brian Daboll. The Eagles have Nick Sirianni. I'll come back to Nick Sirianni here in just a second. Zach Taylor with the Bengals, another offensive coordinator. You have Bills head coach McDermott, defensive guy. The Cowboys. I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out how that the Cowboys. So I might come back to them because I'm trying to figure out what the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy and I'm trying to see, man, I hate this when I have a thought on I'm staring at him. It's their offensive coordinator. It's going to come to me. I don't know who's calling plays. I don't know who's running their offense. It's driving me crazy. I don't understand some of the things that the Cowboys were doing. I'm blown away by some of the stuff. It seems weird to me, but we'll man, left-handed quarterback. Why can't I remember his name? But anyway, I you know we'll do a deep dive in there. I you know when you look at them, the Cowboys 49er game, it was what we thought it was going to be. Right, it's going to be a defensive struggle game. You have Dak Prescott coming off a really big performance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And once again, the narrative coming out of that was, if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you're saying, man, look at that effort and know it. And then you look at after the game and what's happened to Tampa Bay in the past week after that game, and they had total chaos. Nobody wanting to be there. Nobody in charge. I mean, it is Kellen Moore. See, I told you it would come right back to me. Right when I didn't need it to come back to me, that's when it comes back to me. And when you, I'm not, the 49ers the week before, Brock Purdy had his way, had a great game. And conventional wisdom in this game was that the Dallas Cowboys were going to disrupt the Brock Purdy, and they were going to make Brock Purdy beat them in the game. And after all was said and done, Brock Purdy beat them in a game. He made the throws. Kyle Shanahan, even though they struggled in the first half and struggled in the second half, at certain times on certain plays, let him loose. And as a, you know, people are like, well, see, they don't trust him. It's his seventh start in the NFL. I don't throw the Mr. Irrelevant stuff away. That stuff left after his first game and he played well. That's just people trying to get clicks. It's a kid who knows how to play football. He knows how to look off. He doesn't bear down on his people that are out in passing attack. He knows how to play football. He played at a Division I level for 4 years and played really well. And the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott comes in, and I remember writing the text, and I feel horrible about writing. I wrote a text to T going, man, if that is your Dak Prescott, then you guys are going to be okay, and you have a shot here. And then the old Dak Prescott came back. And I think he's athletic. I think he's a really good quarterback. He's 30 years old. I listened to Dan Orlovsky today. And a couple other people on a couple of other shows as well. And what they say about Dak, unlike when, and let's compare my notes. So I'm going to compare Dak and Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy has 3 to 4 looks. And then he's either throwing the ball away or he's taken off on a run in a way to get out of bounds because he didn't want to get hit. I think he only got hit 2 or 3 times yesterday, maybe 4. It looks like Dak Prescott's slow in getting through his progressions, and he doesn't want to take off and run anymore. So getting tackled and having an ugly injury, maybe sometimes that doesn't come back wanting to have to go through that again. And yesterday seeing Pollard, their running back, get tackled from somebody from behind who pulled down and came down on his leg. He broke his, I can't remember if they said tibula or fibula, But he has a broken leg. I mean, he's in for a pretty long rehab. It's going to be an interesting game, and we'll take a deeper dive in all these games. The New York Giants and Philadelphia Eagles, once again, it's a third time playing. They've seen Daniel Jones. They've seen Brian Daboll. And for people that said, well, there goes, you know, the Giant. If there was Giant fans out there that thought they were going to win that football game, or there were people on TV picking the New York Giants to win that football game, not to cover, not to keep it under. They were saying that they were going to outright win that football game. I am 57 years old, and if I could run and catch a ball and even be able to bend down and tie my shoes, you could be a New York Giant wide receiver. They don't have any against that Philadelphia defense. That game was not going to be close. That game was not close. They ran all over him. I'm almost positive they were over 300 yards. If they were close to 300 yards rushing, that was kind of an easy game for the Eagles. I don't know if they wanted an easy game. I think they wanted a game. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles, the best thing they have, they have home field advantage. So they're getting the San Francisco 49ers, and Brock Purdy is going to come to Philadelphia. And that's a really good defense. And what Philadelphia was running against the New York Giants is not an overall really good defense. So that's one of those games. And I thought I had – I think someone moved my – no, they didn't. So – the Jags and the Chiefs, I took the over, and it was 53, lost that. I took the Chiefs and 9, lost that. The Giants and the Eagles, I took the Eagles and the 7.5, I got that. I took the over, got that. The Bengals, I took Cincinnati 5.5, won that. I took the over, didn't win that. And the Cowboys, I took San Francisco and 4, I won that, and I had 46.5 under. I won that. So I didn't do too bad this weekend. But if you were a New York Giants fan and you thought you were going to keep that game close, listen, they have a lot of money. They have some draft capital. If they're going to keep Daniel Jones, and I don't even know if they're going to keep Daniel Jones, because 3 weeks ago, Daniel Jones could have been had for 3 years, $60 million, and maybe whatever signing bonus. And then after getting them into the playoffs and winning a playoff game, his numbers went to, you know, $31, $32 million a year. And I don't know if the New York Giants are going to do that. And that's a very interesting thing. The last game, the one you heard right here on this radio station, we are a Kansas City Chief affiliate. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Kansas City Chiefs. One thing I'm going to say right off the bat, seeing Patrick Mahomes go down, that was going to deflate the playoffs just because of how valuable he is and the Kansas City Chiefs are to viewership. I mean, it's huge. Came back out, played well. It's a high ankle sprain. I think he says he's playing. Once you have a high ankle sprain, to be able to go out and do what they need to do, even with somebody working on you every day. And it's his ankle. It's not like they can do needling, trying to rejuvenate. I don't know what all they can do, but they're going to try everything they can. It was a fun game to watch. The Jacksonville Jaguars are probably a year away, but how they played, and after getting away from Urban Meyer, once again, I'd like to take time in my show today to say Urban Meyer is just a disgusting human being. But who knows a lot of football? I'm not saying I wouldn't want to sit across from him and listen to him talk football, but I'd want to hit him with a baseball bat at the same time, and I can't do that. So I don't think he'd sit down and talk with anybody either. Doug Peterson comes in and rights the ship, and they finished the season 9-8, and they won a playoff, so they finished all in there 10-9. If you watch that game, and if he had just a couple of more, I mean, if he had another minute, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm getting worried. I think that game's tied and it's going into overtime. A couple of really good throws that receivers didn't make a catch. Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence, the future looks bright because they have dollars, they have draft capital, they're going to get more talent. It's going to be a whole nother year of being in that system, and I wouldn't want to play him. 6'6", can move, throw any ball you want. I mean, he threw the ball that I believe it was Shark that didn't catch it, just missed it. He threw that ball 65 yards in the air and dropped it right into his hands. I mean, I would not want to have to play the Jacksonville Jaguars next year because now they understand what winning is. They didn't understand that before because they'd never had it. For the Kansas City Chiefs, I thought they played really well. I thought their defense played really well in spots. It's not an easy thing to keep Trevor Lawrence honest and in the pocket because he can move and he can throw and he can move and he can run. So it was a fun game to watch. It wasn't a fun game to have Patrick Mahomes get hurt. And it's you know, now you don't know what's going to happen. You fight all the way through those 17 games, then you win a game and you get in another game, and then you might lose your quarterback on a play like that. I think the NFL is going to have to do something about those tackles because it is getting people hurt. And I do believe, especially in the quarterback room, that having a quarterback is more cost-effective for the NFL in television revenue than it is for anybody else. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Have plenty more to talk about. Be back right after this break.
Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. You are listening to Steen on Sports, listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Wednesday, you and I, Valparaiso, 6:30 pregame. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank, taking care of your personal business, mortgage, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. And after watching this weekend and seeing people, phones are in your hand all the time. Also taking advantage of applying online for loans from Northwest Bank. Once again, don't wait and open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can count on. Member FDIC. Okay, just a little bit more deeper dive and then kind of talk about what the four teams that are going forward, what they have to look forward to, and what the four that are not, what they have to look forward to. I wrote down a couple of – so I ended up – I went 5-3 this weekend on my bet. So that's not as bad as I've been. The first one, let's take – this is kind of an easy one. It's low-hanging fruit for me because of my disdain here. But the Buffalo Bills and how they look moving forward. Ken Dorsey, I get Brian Daboll leaving. I think that mattered. I think Ken Dorsey's going to get better because I think Ken Dorsey's a good play caller. An offensive coordinator is more than just play calling. And you have to be able to feel the room and feel the field and feel the players and understand all of that. I don't think on the offensive side of the ball that Buffalo has to do much. I think they just have to take a little bit and draw back a little bit on how free will they let Josh Allen go. I think you gotta rein him in a little bit. Listen. Andy Reid, even though everybody, you know, it's a two-way street and him and Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes have a good relationship, there are times they have to rein him back in and go, okay, we need to run the ball some. We need to, you know, we don't always have to look for the deep ball. And he's become a better quarterback and more consistent when he hasn't always been looking for those deep balls. I do think that, so they have work to do with Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen and Ken Dorsey have some work to do in the room because Stephon Diggs, I get it. He's a wide receiver, and wide receivers do things. I don't think he was happy. He wasn't happy with some of the throws. He's also not having 300-pound men trying to chase him down and sack him and throw him to the ground. So I think they need a little bit. I think they need to narrow their game plan down a little bit. They rely so much on Josh Allen, and not that he can't do that, but he made mistakes, and you want to try to take those away, and make sure they don't happen. And I heard people getting on Josh Allen. I heard people getting on Ken Dorsey. Sean McDermott is the head coach. He's a defensive coordinator, and they gave up over 400 yards. You can't do that. It's easy. That's easy. And I get it. The Cincinnati Bengals and Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow with a makeshift line that Buffalo never even come close. And I get losing Von Miller. You have to adapt. And it doesn't look like Sean McDermott or Leslie Frazier adapted. It was like they were surprised that because it was snowing that Joe Burrow wasn't going to go back and throw the ball. And they couldn't stop the run as well. So Buffalo has some work to do. And we let Sean McDermott get away with things. When they win, he doesn't get credit. Josh Allen gets credit. And when they lose, Josh Allen gets blame. And I just, as a football coach, I don't think you can allow that to happen. With the New York Giants, listen, they're a year ahead of schedule. A year far ahead of schedule. What Brian Daboll did with Daniel Jones and running an offense and doing all that, and they have no weapons. They have Daniel Jones, and they have Saquon Barkley, and an offensive line, and that's it. And everything they got from everything else is just gravy, and it wasn't enough. Once again, they have draft capital, and they have dollars to spend. You have to spend it in the right way. I don't know if that means keeping Daniel Jones. I don't know what they're going to do. It's not like the turnaround that Jared Goff is having. Jared Goff, at his worst, was better than Daniel Jones up until this year. And then what Jared Goff had done with the Detroit Lions, with Dan Campbell, that made a difference. And he had a great year. Not a good year. He had a great year. Too many injuries, and they started the year out 1-6. They were still working through things, and then they caught fire. If they'd have had two more wins, they'd made the playoffs. No one was going to want to play them. I'm telling you, nobody was going to want to play them. With the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know what you do. I don't know how good an offensive coordinator Kellen Moore is. I don't know how good a coach Mike McCarthy is. I don't think that Jerry Jones, since he hired both of them, is going to go, you know what? Man, if I bring Sean Payton in here, Sean Payton's going to want total control. And I have total control. I'm the one that gets the radio show. I'm the one that takes calls. I'm the one that does all that. So I think they're kind of stuck where they are. And Kellen Moore is like a son to him. So I don't know how you change. Because Dak Prescott needs somebody to come in and work with him. And I totally believe, and who wouldn't? When you break your foot and it's the wrong way, you don't really want to have these guys hitting you as you're running 20 yards down the field anymore. It's just not going to happen. The other thing they need, every single one of their wide receivers are tiny. Amari Cooper wasn't. And Amari Cooper, if the Cleveland Browns wouldn't have an Amari Cooper, I don't even know if they could have thrown the ball this year. They miss Amari Cooper because they didn't want to pay him. It's the Dallas Cowboys. You pay. I mean, you have Micah Parsons. After watching him, you take him, the Bosas. I mean, there's some unbelievable defensive players out there. Unbelievable. But they still can be run on, and they still can make long passes because their defensive back and safeties get out of coverage because they want to come up and hit, or they want to look like, you know, I look like the best corner. Doesn't mean I am the best corner, but boy, I look like it. I don't know if I like that. I save, I think, the best to last. The Jacksonville Jaguars. I think you're excited. They have Calvin Ridley coming in, who got suspended this year because he actually admitted that he bet on a game that had nothing to do with his game. And I think it was, I thought it was fantasy football. It might not have been, but whatever the NFL did, it wasn't the smartest thing the NFL has ever done, especially with what NFL owners are doing, but they have no teeth for NFL owners. They do for NFL football players. That adds another possession receiver, cut across the middle receiver, can get the ball deep receiver. It gives Trevor Lawrence a whole nother offseason to do a deep dive into Doug Peterson's offense. I guarantee you that he's got 65% of the offense in, and he's still got a bunch more that he can put in. I think that's the up-and-coming team. They need a little bit better situational defensive play, especially in the red zone. It seems to me that they give up a lot of touchdowns in the red zones instead of making teams kick field goals. I don't know. That's just my thought process. But I thought they played really well and they handled themselves really well. So then when you look to the Final Four and where we're at, I think the biggest question that you have in the Final Four is how healthy is Patrick Mahomes going to be? I've had a high ankle sprain before. I'm not an elite athlete. I have no idea what all they can do. But that's a scary thing for them because if he's in there, you know they're going to come after him. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals can get after the quarterback and they can make life miserable. And you're taking away the one thing that makes Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback in the NFL. And that is accurate, deep ball, but his ability to move and buy time and get people open. And speaking of getting open, and I've listened to a lot of talk radio today, how is it that you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs and you let Travis Kelce get targeted 16 times and make 14 catches? So if I'm Doug Peterson, I want to have a talk with my defensive coordinator and say, I thought we were going to take care of this. That's too much, folks. That's way too many catches. I think Jacksonville is just fine. I think they're going to fill in some more pieces. They have some capital, some draft capital. They've done a good job. I think that's an up-and-coming program. The Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott's going to have to take a look in the mirror. Oh, I was going to do Bengals. I'm sorry. Because I did the Jags. I did the Chiefs too, and I shouldn't have done the Jags after that. I'm going to do the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you saw that Jalen Hurts is healthy. I still don't know if he can take a hit with his shoulder, if he gets hit on his shoulder. Their defense is really good. If San Francisco has the best defense, then Philadelphia has the second best defense. I think my Ravens might be third, but we have no offense, so that doesn't help. And this is why I said I was going to get back to Dan Campbell too and Nick Sirianni. When Nick Sirianni, not this year but last year, when him and Dan Campbell both got hired, the two of them together might have had the two worst first press conferences that I've ever seen. You're like, oh my goodness, what are you guys doing? And now you see those guys and you see what they're doing. And you've seen how they've changed the culture in their place. It's amazing. And they're only going to get better because these teams are going to get better. The Philadelphia Eagles need to keep Jalen Hurts upright and healthy, and as well as same as the Chiefs. The Chiefs have to keep Patrick Mahomes upright and healthy. The Cincinnati Bengals, they're going to take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs are going to take a look at that tape. And see a tape from last year and go, we got to get to him and we have to get to him quick. And I'm almost to a point where I want Joe Burrow moving because he is deadly in the pocket. Their running game was really well, kind of a two-headed monster on the running game, which I think helps. Their defense played well enough, but their defense was not playing the Kansas City Chiefs. But if Patrick Mahomes isn't 75%, I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to go back to the Super Bowl. And if you had that in a bet somewhere that the Cincinnati Bengals would go to two Super Bowls in a row, boy, you've made some money. Getting to the San Francisco 49ers, they need to keep doing what they're doing. Their defense is really good. Dallas had kind of had their way for a little bit, almost halfway through the second quarter, and then they didn't do much at all. It's a quick defense, and you know you're going to have it's going to be different because Jalen Hurts. You know, if you're looking at a healthy Jalen Hurts, you got to worry about him gaining big yards running. An unhealthy Jalen Hurts with a shoulder that he doesn't want to get hit with, I don't think he's going to run as much. If they run for 300 yards, which I don't think that you can do against the San Francisco 49ers, I don't know. That would be an amazing stat. I think it's going to be a dogfight, and I think it comes down to the same thing we said about Brock Purdy and Dallas. Dallas wanted to make Brock Purdy make a mistake. Did he have a great game? Did he have a clean game? Did he have all that? He was 19 of 29 for 214 yards. That's exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants. They want to they got enough. I'm clicking here to see what their rushing yards were. They ran for 113. He threw for 214. He had a couple of runs. Brock Purdy did. Elijah Mitchell had 51. Christian McCaffrey was 10 for 35. Dallas did a good job of keeping him intact. Debo Samuel had 4 for 11. It just gives them options. And then they had George Kittle had a great game. Debo had a good game. Juan Jennings had some big catches. Christian McCaffrey had some big catches. And Brandon Ayuk again played well. But they're going to do the same thing. They're going to make. I mean, he averaged 7.4 yards of completion. He was sacked twice, and the two times he was sacked, he had nothing that he could do. Absolutely nothing he could do. His quarterback rating was 87.4. Dak Prescott's quarterback rating was, his QBR was 53.1 and 51.5. That's because they were playing two really good defenses. It's pretty amazing what that's going to be. We'll keep talking about the matchups and get a deeper dive into there. But that's kind of my overview of watching all those games. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I'll be back. Last segment of this first hour. Come back in.
Connect with Steen on Sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Last segment of this first hour already. Listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700thechamp. And at Steen on Sports. Website is 1700thechamp.com. Wednesday, you and I versus Valparaiso. 6:30 pregame. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully, and I think they go outside the state of Iowa too. I know they do, so I need to write that in there. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. One other thing that we got to do this weekend, and it was a really nice privilege and honor to get to go. And we went to kind of a celebration and going away party for Gary Slater and his wife, Mary. If you don't recognize those names, Gary Slater is the retiring CEO of the Iowa State Fair. And they're getting ready to retire and go down to Missouri and have fun. And it was fun to be able to talk to everybody, because with everybody's busy schedules, we don't get together as much as we'd like to. And we had a lot of fun, but we got to hear some stories, all the fun things. Gary's a special guy, and that is not an easy job. And I understand, Mary, it's not an easy job to be the wife and confidant and helper and everything for someone that has a job like that. It's pressure on both. It always comes back to the two of them. And they've done a great job for a long time, and I was very happy for them. But it was nice to be able just to go and celebrate a little bit. He's going to be missed. But as we said to him, boy, we love you. But man, do we love the Iowa State Fair. And one of the reasons we love the Iowa State Fair so much is because of Gary. So congrats to them. And they said they're going to come back and go to the fair. But now they can hang with us. I don't know if they want to hang with us. They've watched us before. I don't know if they're going to hang with us. But it was very fun and very exciting. I stated earlier that Nana's on her upward climb of getting better. She's taken some it's baby steps. We have to take baby steps. We have to get everything in the right order and get her back to I think she's going to be a lot better than she was before. I think maybe we found some things out and we can work through. She's a fighter, and she's a big time fighter. So she's good. Nobody in the house is more excited about that than DJ. So, it's nice to have her home and get back a little bit to the way things were. It wasn't the same without having her in the house. So many sports things this weekend. You know, football kind of takes a pretty big chunk out of that. And just a few things. Damar Hamlin in the box in Buffalo last night. Awesome. I mean, that melts your heart. You know, it's gone on long enough now that you know, people can't let good things be good things. You know, people saying bad things. I'm not even going to get into them, but it's sad that people have to be that way. A little bit of potpourri here. Dwayne Pierce, a 4-star. Cyclones got another 4-star 2023-2024 class, I believe. So next year, another shooting guard, powerful. It's going to be a lot of fun. So the Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow quarterback dueling, Dan Orlovsky actually said something that I think I agree with 100%, that Patrick Mahomes might be the best player, is the best player in the National Football League. But I think Joe Burrow is the best quarterback. He oozes quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is a lot of different things and can do a lot of different things. Joe Burrow is your drop back, passing, dissect you down and break your will. Patrick Mahomes can just do things so quickly. I thought that was a really interesting way to put that in. And with that being said, with what we had this weekend, you had Pat Mahomes, you had Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, who am I missing? I'm missing Brock Purdy. So I have Trevor Lawrence, Brock Purdy. Who else am I missing? This is great, great radio. I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. Got those two. Oh, Daniel Jones. And they kind of said, with these quarterbacks, because we've seen them this weekend, put them in order. And to put them in order, they said, put them in order for fantasy football. I'm like, wow, that changes. If I was putting them in fantasy football, I would definitely have Mahomes 1. I would probably have Josh Allen 2. And I would have Joe Burrow 3. I still think that I would, and this is bad on me, but I still think I'd take Trevor Lawrence over Jalen Hurts, but I think that's 5 and 6. And I think right now, if push came to shove right now, I would take Brock Purdy over Daniel Jones. So I'd have Daniel Jones 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What else am I missing? Dak Prescott. Oh my gosh, where would I put Dak Prescott? Okay, I would put Dak Prescott after Trevor Lawrence. Dak Prescott's still a better quarterback than Brock Purdy and Daniel Jones. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 8. Yeah, I would. So I would go just for fantasy football. I would go Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and I have Mahomes and Allen because of their rushing totals. Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, that's a tough one too. That's probably where people would disagree with me the most. I don't think Dak Prescott in upside or any of that is going to be better than any of those five. And you're pulling hairs between Brock Purdy and Daniel Jones. Even though Daniel Jones has been in the league longer, you can't. I mean, his first few years with the coaching that he was getting, this is the first year. See, Daniel Jones is another one of those young quarterbacks. It's the first year that you could actually look at him and go through. The same with Trevor Lawrence, both of them. It's the first year you can look at them and go, okay, now I can start assessing how good a quarterback they are. Stephon Diggs yesterday was not happy. He wasn't happy with Josh Allen. Doesn't think that Josh Allen was on the same page with him. He wanted to leave. They wouldn't let him leave really fast, but I don't know. If I was saying a quarterback to win me a Super Bowl, I would probably drop Josh Allen down below Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes would probably be right close to each other. Here's the one thing I'm going to say about Trevor Lawrence, and I said I was going to mention something about Trevor Lawrence, and I saw it after the game. So after probably 30 minutes after the game, everybody's out there, they're on the field, they're talking to family, they're talking to reporters, they're talking to the other team, they're talking to the Chiefs, they're going back and forth. Trevor Lawrence starts to see people head into the tunnel. He stops what he's doing, he runs, gets into the tunnel, and shook the hand of every Philadelphia employee, coach, player, everybody. Now, some people out there might think, well, who cares? I care. I care a lot. That's what I want my quarterback doing. I don't want my quarterback saying, you know, I'm not going to talk to the press tonight, but you can listen to me on the Pat McAfee show. There's no doubt in the world that Aaron Rodgers has more talent or has had a better career than Trevor Lawrence. That doesn't make him a better person, and it doesn't make him a better teammate. I would look for that. I would look for when someone is at, this is the reason that I back Dak Prescott probably more than a lot of other people, because he steps up to that podium. That's the toughest job a quarterback has, is stepping up to that podium, no matter if you're winning or losing, because somebody's going to try to get you to say something that you don't want to say. Dak Prescott does a great job. Patrick Mahomes does a great job. So you have to be kind, more kind to him. That's something that all those quarterbacks that we talked about all have in common. Their willingness to take the pressure and take that off. But what Trevor Lawrence did, that matters. It matters to me. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 CHAMP AM. Be right back.